part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
What's good, Wizards fans, and welcome to the Locked On Wizards podcast. It's your host, the real Ed Oliver, my guy, Brandon Scott. Today, we have special guest, Wayne Cole, Washington Wizards and Washington Mystics beat reporter. Just want to thank you guys for making Locked On Wizards your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you get podcasts. Wayne, how you feeling today, man?
Man, I'm feeling good. If y'all feeling good, I'm feeling even greater. Just appreciate y'all having me on, man. It means a lot.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. We had to get you on. We see you. You're doing your thing. You've been, you know, at Media Day, you know, been a great reporter, giving great insight. We both read the article that you did, that you put out yesterday. So if you guys want to go to Wayne's Twitter page, I'll pull up Wayne's page. It's at Wayne Cole, WayneCole. Or that's a zero, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. On Twitter. So make sure you guys follow him. So we just wanted to start off with a couple of questions. The Wizards play tomorrow in Japan. We're both excited for that. I can't wait, against the Golden State Warriors. But they did have their media day a couple of days ago. So what stood out to you the most on the Washington Wizards media day?
Ironically, just as I put in the article, like, it was a camaraderie that I really haven't seen before from the Wizards. It just felt like everybody really cares about each other. They got each other's backs. It was more we than I. So I feel like fans should really be excited, because not only is it just a Wizards thing, it's more of like a DC family. Talking to Monte Morris, he said, look, not only should the players have a chip on their shoulder, the media, but the fans as well. Like, we're underdogs. So we really have to, you know, from a fan perspective, a player, a media, like, kind of give it everything we got as a whole collective. So it just felt like a family atmosphere. And really haven't got that vibe before, but it just feels like everybody is in this together. And I really appreciated that.
Definitely, yeah. You know, Wes talked about that Monte talked about that father-son relationship with Wes Unseld Jr. Brad talked about chemistry. A lot of guys brought that up. You know, Kuz has known Monte since, you know, they were kids in middle school, elementary school and whatnot. He's known DeLon Wright for a long time too. And then last year, you know, there was just a lot of conflict and a lot of disagreement in the locker room last year that we've heard, you know, a lot of guys, you know, disagreements over minutes and different things like that. So it's good to see that this year, that the chemistry has been a huge focus. Will Barton from Baltimore, like you said, DC, DMV family.
Yeah.
Just a lot of familiarity, Nuggets guys coming in. So I think the more we over eyes is going to be huge. And that's really what it looks like. That's what they focused on over the offseason for sure.
Yeah, and then you kind of touched on it. It's like that when you know somebody. So the fact that Coach Wes knew Monte and Will, and it just seemed like they didn't miss a beat. And even Monte said, you know what, I like that Coach Wes can give it to me straight. Like, not, oh, come on, Monte, get, you know, you should have did this. He can kind of light a fire on him that only kind of Coach Wes can do. So it was that accountability piece. Also hearing Brad say, look, you know, I signed the contract, it's on me. So whether we win or lose, put the blame on me. Even if we lose, don't look at any man in that locker room, look at me. So it's like he's taking that accountability piece. Like, look, I'm willing to take everything. He's not ducking from anything. And then to see, as we talk about that family piece, his having Coach travel and see all the guys this offseason, the players talk about how that meant to them. So I feel like chemistry starts in the offseason. It's like what you do in the offseason matters. You can't build your muscle and start shooting at the beginning of the season. Got to put that work in. So that's what all the guys just said. Like, again, I hate to sound like a broken record, but you just see that camaraderie. I'll give another example. Like, they went out to LA and they started and Kuz said, just that's where it started from. You know, everybody's mature, they're personable, they care about the work they're putting in. It's not really about stats. It's what can get the Washington Wizards to the best place. So when you hear stuff like that, you got to get excited.
Yeah, I mean, Corey Kisper said that there are a bunch of low-maintenance guys that just want to hoop. And I love that Brad is taking that accountability. He is the guy that, you know, he got the big contract. You know, he got the no-trade clause and the 15% trade kicker. So it's everything starts and ends with him. Same thing with Kuz and Porzingis. But Brad is that number one guy. So I love the accountability. I'm excited to see what Brad does this year.
Yeah, especially, you know, he was saying he learned patience. So when you get something taken away from you, we know with the wrist injury, it makes you want it that much more. And as we've seen in, you know, at media day and not media, training camp, the shot looks good. He looks like the same old Brad that, you know, we grew to love. That was encouraging to see. You know, coach wants to, like he said, like just broken back slowly. But from a shooting standpoint, he looks like the same old Brad.
No, I love that.
Yeah, from what I saw, can't go wrong. So, also speaking of shooting, Rui Hachimura, seen him shoot a lot of threes. Asked him personally, he said, you know, he worked on his mid range, the three pointer, and his strength. But he's knocking down that three pointer on a very consistent basis. And again, I know it was training camp, but and the player said, my eyes, again, a lot to be excited for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Rui, I saw a picture of him where over in Japan yesterday or this morning, and it was just a lot of reporters, microphones in his face, all kinds of things. I mean, he's the man of the hour, you know. They're going to Japan for Rui, you know, and showcasing him. So this is huge, and he had a big leap last year from the three-point line, shooting 44% from the three. Mm-hmm. It's a big year for him. It's a contract year for him, too, and he can really fill it up, and he can really score. So I'm excited to see what Rui can do this year. It's a big year for him. He's so talented. You know, he's had double doubles. He had a big playoff game against the Sixers. You know, and then he missed a lot of time last year, but he was able to bounce back and take advantage of the opportunity. And he improved in certain parts of his game.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. So it's like, that's a twofold thing with him being from Japan. He is, as one Japanese reporter told me, think of like who's your biggest American superstar. So like you would say like LeBron James. That's how Japan kind of views him over there. He's such a big megastar. He had that Olympics, and it kind of took a toll on him because he said in Japan you just play basketball year round. So he never really had the time to just kind of debrief, de-stress, to take a break. Finally had a training camp. He didn't have any national demands. So it just allowed him to kind of have a regeneration or a rebirth. As to say, he's going over there to Japan. As we all know, they love him over there. He's excited for this opportunity. So the fact that he was able to have a stress-free offseason and then go into a smooth regular season, I think that'll pay dividends for him. He's already said it. He's excited to go over there. But I think it'll really translate in his game to where he's coming in on a minimal workload. So that'll only pay dividends for his game in that aspect. And then for the Japan side of it, I kind of saw it this summer with Rui Machida for the Mystics. Mm-hmm. Japan loves basketball. So it's kind of hard to put in words, but just the attention, the love they have, you know, he takes pride in that. So he wants to, you know, play well for his country. And this country is just so proud of him. And they're really, really big Washington fans. So I think this Japan game is going to be really cool. As you said earlier before we went on air, we just decided to see basketball. So it's just a lot of excitement around this team, not just from a DC standpoint or DMV, but from a Japan and international standpoint. So you can see why the buzz is so big for Rui, as you saw in that picture.
Mm-hmm. Oh, 100%. I mean, the buzz from Japan, not only Japan, but, you know, we got people watching from Israel too with Denny. There's so many fans that, you know, watch our channel and listen to the podcast from Israel every time we make a video about Denny playing in Eurobasket. So we got a lot of buzz from that too. But yeah, I mean, the Wizards are global. That's what Tommy Shepard, that's what he's looking for. And Ted Leonsis is to reach out to that global aspect, the global audience of basketball for the Wizards. You know, Rui, we got the Cherry Blossom jerseys now too. Rui's been sporting those in the pictures too. Same thing with Kuz. But yeah, Brandon, what questions do you have for Wayne? Or we'll take a quick break and then we'll get a question from Brandon.
Okay. Yes, sir. Before we settle on to the next question, today, this episode is brought to you by Bet Online. BetOnline.net is your number one source for football betting info this season. Find all of the latest player developments, team matchups, news, podcasts, and in-depth articles and analysis on every game you find. And as always, BetOnline remains your continued source for all your betting wagering information, with live betting and up-to-the-minute scores for every sport out there. The fastest and easy way to check in on all your favorite games and events, including Major League Baseball, MMA, boxing, and even golf. Head to betonline.net or use your mobile device to learn more. Bet Online, where the game starts. So, since we are talking about Rui, as you know, this is his contract year. So, my question is, how likely, in your opinion, does he sign an extension? And what factors would prevent that or would help his case in getting an extension this offseason?
You know, a reporter asked him, actually, you know, this was his contract year, and he said he's really not focused on it. He said he's focused on the game. So, and that's kind of not rare, but, you know, usually guys are like, you know, it's my contract year. Again, he just said he wants to just show the work he's put in. He's really focused on the game. If any indication, as Ed said, he shot 45% last year, 44% from the three. He's worked on his mid-range game. He said he's got stronger. Coach said he had a really impressive camp. If he continues to build up what he did last year, I would pretty much assume and lock him in for pretty much getting an extension for this team. Rui can play the 1 through 5. He said it again at media day and training camp. He's versatile. So when you have a guy like that in this type of NBA, you need a guy that can go 1 through 5. You need a guy that can shoot the 3. So when you add in those type of factors, I think it would pretty much be not, you know, a play on words, but a lock for him to get that extension if he continues to just have that trajectory as we've seen last year coming into this year.
Oh, yeah, I agree. I think there are factors that I want to see from Rui before I would be down with an extension. As you said, he's a 3-level scorer. I mean, he can score. You know, his 3-point shot has improved dramatically, and his mid-range game is on point. You know, he's very athletic. You know, but my thing with him is defense. You know, defense, you know, especially at his position at power forward, you know, very often than not, you saw him overmatched, kind of lost on defense. And to me, that would be the biggest factor that I would want to see improved. You know, to me, he's proven that he can score, but can you defend? Because, look, if the bang down in the Eastern Conference, you got to be able to roll at the four position. And you're going to get, you know, look, Evan Mobley. Look, can Rui guard Evan Mobley? I'm just, you know. Right. And that's the thing about this lineup is that, you know, you can mismatch guys here and there. You know, you're going to see KP at the 4 some games, you know, with Gaff. You know, you're going to see Denny at the 3. Will, you know, and that's what I like about the team is there's so many different pieces that you can kind of, you know, shift. And that helps West out with coaching because lineup-wise, he can really game plan. That's what I want to see from West. Game planning, you know what I'm saying? Like really game planning against opponents. So I'm very excited, you know, especially for Rui. I really want to see Rui take a step forward this season. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I think that's why he kind of focused in on that strength piece, because you can say some guys in the NBA at the 4 are big, some are small, some of you like that tweener size. Pretty much on the defensive end, a couple of his teammates have said, hey, you know, Rui has stepped it up on that side of the ball, or Rui was making, you know, lockdown plays. So I just think for Rui, he finally has an offseason where it was just he could focus on just his game. And we won't know until we see the season, but all indications point to that he's up that part of his game as well. So not really worried until I see it, but have to take the guys that are on the court's word for it for right now that he's really improved in that category.
And now with the previous question, man, you need to hit the nail on the head. Mm-hmm. You know, their focus is something you haven't seen in a long time with this team. Yeah. You know, there's always, you know, last year chemistry, you know, having too many guys, you know, in years past, you know, there's always injuries. You know, John Wall's injuries always became in the season with, you know, a lot of uncertainty. You're going even all the way back, you know, Gil, 8-0. You know, so, you know, it's been a long time since we saw this team kind of focused, you know, and they're realistic. That's another thing that I see in media day. They're realistic. They know where they stand. They know that the Eastern Conference is stacked. You know, you could easily, you know, me, Ed, we say this all the time, man. You could go down the list of teams in the East and you could hit 10 and maybe find the Wizards. I mean, that's how stacked they are. So they know that chemistry is very important. And the fact that they're already ironing it out before you get into the season is a good, good sign. You know what I'm saying?
And that's, I mean, you touched on it. You said two things that I kind of want to go on. First was the KP piece, right? DeLon was saying this team is so big in certain areas that they can, the versatility of the lineups. You might see a KP at the 4. You might see a Denny at the 2 or a Kuz at the 3. Like, you can just throw so many. All of them are pretty long, right? So that's the one aspect. And then, as you said, with the East being so deep, granted, the Wizards got better, so did the Eastern Conference. So what's going to come into play is, like I said, that chemistry. Because we saw teams last year that were predicted to go to the finals or a second round, and they lost in the first round. So basketball, it's a long season. You know, things happen. But the one constant is the depth of the Wizards, you know, right? How deep are they? Weathering storms, you know, when you hit adversity, just bouncing back. A couple of guys said, look, well, Corey in particular, right? The NBA season is so long. So if you have a bad game, you have to erase it. Where in college, you know, you can kind of sit on it for a couple of days. With the NBA, you got to get right back on it. And then, and Cool said, you know, it's like, what are we building for? You know, what's the end goal here? We, togetherness, you know, you want to just be in the trenches with your teammates. And I think little things like that just are reassuring for a fan. It's like, hey, they're going to go to war. You know, you're going to get the best effort. And a lot of them said, we want to get better on the defensive end. We know we can put the ball in the hole, but what about the defense? So just hearing that word defense, 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 again, it's just reassuring that they're going to take that onus and that accountability on that side, just not on the offense.
Oh, absolutely. That's good to see, you know, because that's really the biggest issue for this team is, or really one of the two, you know, three-point shooting, which with the addition of Monte Morris and Will the Thrill, is going to get better. You know, we're really improving the shot. You know, Kuz took leaps forward last season with his three-point shot. And then, of course, Bill, look, he had an off year, but let's be real. His is forte. You know, Bill's a three-point shooter. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So he's going to get back to that, man. He's going to have a better year with that. But now you hit the nail on the head. You know, them coming into the season focused, you know, gives them a leg up. Because if you look at other teams that are top teams in the East, there could be issues. Look at Brooklyn. You know, are they going to play well together? You know, we all know how Ben Simmons is, you know, the mental capacity with him. And, you know, Lakari, you know, you know, so are they going to finally play together? You know, there's issues that could arise out of Brooklyn, you know, so, you know, Cleveland, you know, I mean, the list goes on. The Eastern Conference is a monster, man. You know, and this is a far cry from the way it used to be. Because, look, the Western Conference ran the NBA for a while, you know, so now it's good to see, you know what I'm saying? It's good to see the Eastern Conference being loaded like this, you know what I mean? So before I get too long with it, I'm
gonna
hand it over to my man.
Yeah, but no, Wayne, I like how you said Rui could play 1-5. I want to see if, it would be funny to see if Rui played point guard tomorrow. They might as well let him bring the ball up tomorrow in Japan and showcase and do everything. So yeah, Wes, he in his presser, before media day, he said the three spot is wide open. That's been the talk of the town. Who's gonna start? Like, through the practices, I know you've been in a couple of practices. I'm not sure if you were able to see some scrimmages here and there over the past couple of days. But what lineups have you seen them do? You just talked about a lineup, too, with Denny being at the two. Who do you think is starting tomorrow? And what lineups have you been able to see that they started off in practice?
So we see towards the 20 minutes into practice. So it's a lot of, you know, shooting and free throw drills, three-point drills. And then like a little, like a suicide run and then like take a shot. So really haven't got to see the practices and scrimmages per se, but on a lineup basis, coach did say that three spot is wide open. And he said, that is the talk of the town. And I think that's what competition, you want competition, right? But I think just having that three spot, saying it's so open, it just goes along with how deep the Wizards are at that three position. Right. So, it's kind of unpredictable right now. Coach said he just wanted to bring that competition out. Now, as for starters, maybe you might see Monte, Bill, you got Kuz, KP, and I think you could see maybe a Roy just because of Japan games or Will. So I think that's why I would lean right there. Is maybe starter. We really haven't seen too much of Denny. He's working in from a groin injury. So from that aspect, I don't think he would necessarily be starting for tomorrow. But those would probably be, if I had to take a guess off the top of my head, would be the six in the mix to start tomorrow.
Okay. So Denny's been out. So Denny, have you heard any word on Denny playing tomorrow or at all or playing on Sunday?
Not as of yet. I know Coach he just wanted to take it slow. Because that groin can be tricky. So probably won't know until they send us the injury report. But as of right now, I would probably say 50-50 just probably erring on the caution side.
Oh wow! And if you had to pick or make a guess, who do you think is starting day one at the three spot? Because I think Kuz is going to be at the four, Zingas at the five, Brad at the two, Monte at the one.
I would probably.
Okay.
And I guess for two, one is that familiarity with Coach West. And then I know someone asked Will about, you know, that starting position. He said, hey, I kind of work all my life. And as we say, that competition kind of brings another side out of Will that I don't think Wizards fans really, unless you know him, and that's why it's exciting for him to be here and just home with that buzz. I think talking to him, he's going to take this game this year to a different level. We have a thing back in Baltimore called the Brunson League. Said they're going to bring that type of energy. So I would encourage fans to kind of Google what that is, see that type of energy. And that's the type of energy you're going to get from Will. So that's who I could see starting this year. But again, and things change. Coach said he didn't want to get into who's starting and who's not. I asked him this straight from his mouth. He said, Roy has shown that he can start as well. So I don't want to, you know, kind of not give some props to Roy because he's shown that, hey, he can make that leap this year as a starter as well. But if I had to probably guess offhand, that would probably be my starting five would be Monte, Bill, Will, Kuz, and KP.
Okay. That makes sense. I mean, Will, you know, the familiarity with the Nuggets. And you brought up the Brunson League. You know, in D.C. they got the Goodman League. They got the Pitts League. So that's their, you know, outdoor. Now it's indoors. You know, the Goodman League was – or the Brunson League. I'm not sure if that was outdoor. I know it's in the Mello Center, if I'm not mistaken. I know Will went there, and Bones Highland was there this past year, and some other NBA players played there too. But my last question too is Denny, what's he been doing? He's been doing one on ones, and he hasn't played any 5-on-5 or anything like that, right?
Not to my knowledge. Okay. He has, like, he's been off to the side, doing like a shooting drill, and I've kind of captured a couple of that footage, and the shot looks good. He's doing some, you know, crossover work, dribbling work. Stationary bike work. So what we saw on Euro basketball was very promising and encouraging. And as you see him in practice, he's taking a lot of range shots, which is good as well. So I'm expecting Denny to take a leap with the three-point shot, not just with that, but how far he is from the line. Because we know in this league, it's for like the three-point, you know, guys just extending that range further and further. And that's something that I've seen Denny kind of touching on in this training camp.
Definitely. Yeah, Brandon, you can go ahead.
Yes, sir. So my question for you, if you look at our young guys, right, Rui, Denny, Corey, and Johnny Davis, which one of these guys do you see being a long-term behind the team as far as, you know, eventually getting an extension, being with the team long-term? And which guys would you move for a potential reconsolidation or a deadline trade?
So he said, out of our young guys.
Oh, yes, sir, out of our four young guys. Who do you see as a long-term fit as far as being on the team long-term? And which one of the guys would you move, you know, if you had to make a move at the deadline to kind of do it like I said, a consolidation trade?
It's a good, tough question right there. Out of our young guy, you consider Roy a young guy, correct?
Oh, yes, sir. Absolutely.
Okay. I feel like Roy is a long-term piece here. Again, as we kind of touched on already, anybody that's willing to defend 1-5, anybody that's willing to, again, and attack on that three-pointer, the way the league is trending, you need a piece like that. I think any GM, any coach, any player tell you, you need a guy like that. From Kuz's mouth, I love that he said that Corey took a pretty much a year jump. He's like a year three player. So with that, he says he feels more comfortable. The shot looks well. As who I would move, that's hard. A lot of people want young guys, right? So if you want to win now mode, you more often than not, a GM would want your first round pick. Right, so that would probably be Johnny. Now, we have to give him a chance to see how he looks, because that would kind of be unfair to him. Like, don't want to move Johnny, but we know GMs want, they either want picks or young players. But that's, and that's why that's such a, that's a dicey one there. I think Johnny, you know, kind of got a bad rap a little bit because of summer league, but he took ownership of that, right? So he said, hey, I didn't have the greatest summer league, but my guys, my teammates still encouraged me. You know, Coach Unseld and Tommy said, you know, he's a dog. Like, he wants it. He's not going to shy from anything. So we and that is, we have to give him a time to develop. But that would probably be an NBA type thing where it's like, hey, your young guy would probably be the first to go, only because that's how the league is. But we want to give all four of these guys a chance, though, before we, and that we can revisit that.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, like you said, that's a dicey question, man, because I can see Rui being here long term, but, you know, there's been talks of Kuz being in contract negotiations for an extension. So, I mean, if you know, we sign Kuz long term, you know, do you pay Rui that money? You know, because, you know, I mean, look, like you said, he's a very attractive commodity. You know, contract year, you know, somebody could take that league, especially with him being, you know, contract year, but he'd be a restricted free agent, so we could still match it. So, right. You know, a team wants that, you know, that capability with a young player. So, you know, you can also argue that Rui and Denny, but both, you know, both of them would be the highest commodities on the trade front, in my opinion. But, you know, I could easily see Rui being here long term because, you know, he's a young player. He's improved every year he's been in the league. Denny, you know, his defense is already elite, in my opinion. You know, he's shutting down superstars in this league. You know, his shot has always been the question mark. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, Corey Kispert, his shot really, you know, once he realized that your shot release has to be faster in the NBA, you know, he started getting the ball off faster, and he, you know, he was hitting them. And Johnny, no, I totally agree. You know, summer league, you know, you can't put too much in summer league. You know what I'm saying? Because you've seen guys who dominated and then got into the league and then they ain't in the league no more. You know, so it's tough to really, you know, he was dealing with a back issue. You know, I get it, and he took ownership. So, but I do like Johnny Davis. I think he's got a high motor. I think that he's got lots of room to improve, especially with the three-point shot. You know, mid-range, he's on point. You know, he's already got the dog. You know, you know what I'm saying? Defensively, he's got the dog in him. So, you know, I can see, you know, I mean, you know, it's a dicey question because, you know, the NBA, you know, it really depends on where Tommy sees his team going. You know, if certain players in this team, especially the new additions, Monte Morris and Will the Thrill, if they take a step forward and we are in good position to be a playoff team, you may want to move a couple of these young guys to get a piece that's going to help you over that hill. You know what I'm saying? So I agree. It's a hard question.
And I think you kind of said it. Like, this team is just deep. I think you can't – I know we said that last year, you know, the depth, but I think this year's team is really deep. And you may have times where we might not see the young guys play, or we may have times where we do. So it's just – that's why I said the excitement this year should be like, hey, you got a guy, Monte and Will, that have been to the playoffs. They played meaningful basketball. They know the coach. They're coming here, right? So they already know the expectation. They already know, like, what it takes. You have Kuz, championship guy. He's played with some of the greats of all time. KP, when he's on the floor, he is a top talent in this league. I mean, the guy, they say 7'3", 7'4". I feel like he's like 7'7". He's just – nobody can block. We saw it at the end tail in the last year, right? He was getting the business. I know Wizards fans were like, no, we got to sit him, but you want to see what you got. And that's what Tommy said. Our free agency started last year. And the signs he's shown, you look at his EuroLeague tape, look at him in practice, he's just automatic from three, right? And then you just add in all these pieces here and there. Another year of Corey, another year of Rui, another year of Denny. To me, and I just like this underdog. I didn't really feel it last year, but this year where, like, Monte's like, no, everybody should have a chip on their shoulder. So if you're talking Wizards basketball in the barbershop, on a podcast, to your grandmother, you know, to your girlfriend, like, if somebody's kind of disrespecting them, you should be like, no. Like, we here too. And that's why I feel like this year is just something in the air that just feels special about the team. Can't put my finger on it yet, but it just feels like you kind of teams play well, like they so they under the radar right now, right? You see one through, I've seen lists and they don't even have the Wizards in the play-in. So as a competitor, you're like, oh, okay, that's how we rolling. And some guys might say they don't look at that, but you know they look at that. I mean, it's the world we live in. So it's like, okay, just another notch for you to disrespecting us, we'll show you. And I think the Wizards are going to surprise a lot of people.
Totally agree. You know, like you mentioned earlier, you know, if you look at the identity of the cities, the DMV, be more in DC, mm-hmm. man, you know, we've always been slept on. You know, that's yeah. the thing, you know, we're kind of wedged in the area between, you know, you got ATL, you got Philly, you got New York, you know, we've always been slept on. So, you know, it definitely feels different. You know, I feel a high level of optimism with this team. You know, they're ready to play. They're ready to roll. So before we move on, I'm going to ask you one quick question real quick.
Okay, for sure.
All right. Bradley Beal, as you know, he signed a Supermax. Now, mm-hmm. what percentage of a chance do you see that he stays in D.C. the entirety of his contract?
Ooh, man, Bradley with the good questions. So when we say that, I'm going to say 95. Put it in 95%, right? Because even in media day, I mean, it was on the record. He said it. He said he wants to bring a championship here. He said that plenty of times. And to quote him, I want to hold a Larry O'Brien here. I know people will say, hey, it's money, it's generational wealth. But he's been saying, look, it's on me. From his own mouth. He said he's his hardest critic. I think a reporter asked him something about, you know, expectations. Said, your expectation of me is not the same as what I have of myself. So Brad has looked like, look, DC basketball is Bradley Beal right now. And I know he's inspired by seeing the Mystics hold a trophy. And he knows that excitement that the Caps brought when he wants that. And he's all in. So I think with the entirety of his contract, it is pretty high in my opinion. Because just the things he's saying, his dedication to the community, the basketball side of it, he's saying, you know, we've heard guys in the past say it, like, I want to bring one here, but just feel like he really wants to, and that would be huge. For the Wizards to get a trophy here, I think it would be a parade for a month. Like, the city, he knows it, the players know it, like, D.C. is, they're passionate, they want one real bad, and he's putting the onus on them, so you got to take him for his word right now, as a man of his word. That he wants to be here. He wants to bring it here. So I say 95%.
Okay. And I agree, man. If we win an NBA title, man, I mean, I'm going to have a hangover for a week. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, what do you think, Ed?
Oh, 100%. I mean, we haven't even made it past the second round since 1979. So I'm thirsty. I'm thirsty for a championship. The DMV, that you can talk about the Commanders too. I'm thirsty for a Super Bowl, a championship. All that. So I mean, if he could pull that off, I mean, yeah, it would be a parade. They should shut down the city for a whole week. They should let everybody have a week off from work, all sure. that, all everything, you know, half off, you know, everything. So I mean, but I would be happy with that. It definitely is a tall task. Like we talked about the Eastern Conference,
For sure.
It's just gotten it's really competitive. Teams like Cleveland, you know, have really upgraded their rosters. The Sixers aren't going anywhere. The Heat aren't going anywhere. So, but I love the message that I'm hearing from Brad. Same thing with Porzingis, bearded Porzingis. And we talked about, you know, looking at the rankings. Porzingis, you know, he saw that ESPN ranking him being ranked 86th. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, me and Brandon, we talked about that. That's very disrespectful. I get the injuries, but like you said, a lot of guys have chip on their shoulders. They're underdogs this year. They're heavily slept on. And they can use that, put that stuff up in the locker room, honestly, as motivation. Mm-hmm. And I think the guys will use that. Monte Morris has brought up a lot too. So I think they definitely can surprise some people and put the Wizards. We only got two national TV games, so that shows you what they think about us too. You know, so you know. But at the end of the day, the national media stuff, it doesn't matter. They just got to go out there and make it happen on the court.
And I think I try to be a reporter to where I don't want to ever forget about the fan piece of it.
Mm-hmm.
So you're. Throughout the season, I always ask, like, you know, what's your message to the fans or, you know, what should the fans expect? Because I think that kind of gets lost in it. You know, like, of course, these guys are on the court, but their biggest supporters are the people that fill up the seats, that that come to the games, you know. And with social media now, you know, the players feel it. But I think that kind of gets lost, you know. People kind of forget about, you know, asking about the fan side of it. And just at the arena, you know, just talking to them is, you know, they care. And they're really hungry. So I haven't seen it from like a fan perspective on social media where, you know, they're drawing back with other fans like, no, we have this player. We have this, you know, keep sleeping on us. So that's why, again, I just said, when they say that DC family, it's a whole, it's a whole ecosystem. And Kuh said it on media day, you know, the embrace that he got from the fans kind of helped him out of a dark place. So don't believe for one second that, like, you know, your opinion doesn't matter, or because they feel it. They see it, they hear it. So that energy at Capital One, for any fans listening to Locked On, it's needed. It makes a difference. You know, showing up, it's going to take everybody from the top, your management, to your players, to the staff, but most importantly, the fans. And I think when you bring that passion, you don't want to see other fans kind of drown you out of your home arena. You just want to bring it and let them know, like, you know, we coming for you. In a respectful way, like when the opposing teams come, like, we're going to give it to y'all. Because we don't want people to think, oh, we don't care. So that's another piece of this that I think, which you guys highlight, you know, the international piece and people that listen, like, you know, rep your team, rep your passion. Because the players, they feel that. So it's like it's going to take everybody this year.
Definitely, yeah. But, yeah, my guy Brandon, he put you on the hot seat a couple of times, you know, with some tough questions there, you know. But we're going to wrap it up here, man. Wayne, did you have anything that you wanted to promote, any future articles or anything coming out?
I do a lot of my stuff on Twitter. So if you want to follow me, it's WAYNECOC0LE. just going to do a lot of content. You know, I might hold some Twitter spaces. Just, you know, get the fans involved, maybe do some giveaways. Cause like I said, it's, you got to give that support, right? So, when, like I said, y'all have me on it, I definitely want to try to see how I can return the favor. Cause you know, little stuff like that is important. But before we go, real quick, just from you, ask you a question. Just what's one thing you are looking forward to this year for the Wizards?
I'm looking at Kristaps, man. I'm starting the Kristaps propaganda train, man. I really think he's gonna have an all-star year, man. I think he's gonna put up, I think he can average a double-double.
Okay.
I think he can put up at least 23 and 10 boards a game. I think he's gonna bounce back to what he did in 20. He's a guy that, you know, it didn't work out in Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't end well in New York. I think he's got a chip on his shoulder. I think that 86 ranking, man, I think 86 in ESPN, 80 in CBS, like CBS, he was ranked so low. And it just didn't work out in other places. But I think with this team, I think there's going to be some nights where he's going to be the number one guy where, you know, him and Brad, it doesn't matter who's the number mm-hmm. one guy, who's scoring the most points or whatever, who's taking the last shot. I think there's going to be a lot of games where Kristaps is going to be that, is going to be the number one option offensively on the team. Because when they last year, they were running the offense through Porzingis. That Lakers game where he dunked on LeBron was dominating, hit jumpers over Russell Westbrook. There was a couple games, and I think he's going to stay healthy too. I'm sending good vibes on that, good energy, knock on wood.
Yeah.
My bold prediction is he's going to play 70 games.
Okay.
Put me on the spot for it. Monte Morris, pushing the pace. I'm excited to see how fast this team can play. You know, if you look at Brad, he plays well with a distributing point guard who can push the pace. And with the improved three-point shooting on this team, a lot more shooters, I'm trying to tell you. You got Gaff, you got KP, pick and roll. It's gonna be a good year, man. I'm trying to tell you.
And we're tied.
Yeah, oh, look.
Oh, that's right.
Hold his hammer.
That's right.
Yes, sir. I'm telling you, that pace, I'm excited about the pace, man. I really am. I think Monte's going to push the pace. He's going to have a lot of opportunities for a lot of people to get touches on this team. So,
for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely, yeah. But thank you, Wayne, for coming on. I just want to thank you guys for making Locked On Wizards your first listen every day. Now make your second listen, Locked On Fantasy Basketball. Josh Lloyd hosts the number one daily fantasy basketball show on the planet. It's free and available wherever you get podcasts. Make sure you guys subscribe to Locked On Wizards on YouTube and hit the notification bell as well. Hail to the Wizards. Peace.